All right, my guy. It's about time. Mike. It's about time we get back to this.
No, for real.
It's much needed. Thanks for showing up. What's been going on?
Man, everything, man. Just trying to expand the brand for real, man. Okay. Just been going city to city.
Yeah.
Spot to spot, just trying to push the brand, man.
Yeah.
Great product, just trying to, you know.
You in Miami now, right?
Yeah, I've been in Miami since May.
Okay.
That was my birthday gift to myself. I had gotten to the liquor store down there in Miami.
What's the networking like? What's the move? How we branching out?
Man, just
it's gotta be tiring.
Yeah, it is, man. City to city, just trying to push it out. No like crazy amount of money behind me, man. Really just out the dirt, you know.
Facts.
In a sense, just grinding, man. City to city, traveling. Great product though. I just gotta just get it to the people's hands, and that's really been a thing with it for real. Like once people get it and they taste it, they love it, and you know, it kind of just go from there.
Have you you been reaching out to anybody who's doing like sponsoring you, or you know, just all you?
Yeah, just no sponsors. Nobody bagging it for real. It's really just me, but you know, it comes with it.
I feel it.
I know once it gets to that point where it's everywhere, and you know, that's when people are gonna be trying to pop in and do stuff.
Man, yeah.
I got a few people trying to do stuff, but you know, nothing has been locked in yet. So we just gonna keep grinding, man.
I gotta go.
This weekend I'll be free. Next weekend I'm back in Detroit, Friday and Saturday. And then the weekend after that, Sweetest Day weekend, I'll be in Vegas. I got two restaurants that want the wine out there, so I'll be out there. And then on the 22nd, I'll be back at Cleveland for another event. So,
man,
you know.
So you're doing another gala?
No.
Okay.
I'm hosting somebody else's, like a networking event that I'll be doing.
Okay.
At Salsa City. It'll be a good event.
Salsa City.
Too, man, just to, you know, get your brand out there.
For sure.
Yeah, I won't do anything until March. I mean, those big events are super nice, but they're crazy expensive.
Crazy expensive.
Yeah, and it's just like I'm just not in a position to try to do that.
You'd be having a nice turnout, though.
Yeah, I do. I do.
It'd be a nice turnout.
Lou was just talking about the event the other day. We had the first event was 420 people, and this last event, March, was 350 people. So, I mean, I'm getting a great turnout, but.
I'm talking about grown and sexy.
Yeah, nice. Everybody grown dressed and sexy. Up. But it's just
look
like
great.
I get that event, I get that support, you know, throughout the, for the event. But it's just like after that, it's like people, and that's just how we are. Like we don't promote and support consistently. You know what I'm saying? We come out and support that event. Oh, damn, I'm having a big event. They'll pop in. But like after that, like I still have to eat and provide for my family outside of that. So like, and I was just talking about that with my aunt, like, I can probably name one hand, like the family members and close friends who consistently support my brand.
Yeah.
You know, you buy wine when I have an event, but, you know, that's one day out of 365 days, you know, and there's other days, you know. All the people that I know, even if you bought one bottle every 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying, that would, you know, support me in a crazy way. But $20 out of, you know, your paycheck or whatever you do to get money, like, isn't, you know, a lot for you, but it's something for me. So
it's a different
that's
mentality.
Just something that, you know, I was, you know, talking about. And that's one thing that's hard with business is retaining people. You know, you have a great product and people like it and buy it and drink it, but you know, how often are they actually buying that product?
Yeah.
And consistently buying it, you know. So that's really the struggle for real. So just trying to get the right crowd of people to get it.
What was it like with COVID?
I don't think that affected anything. If anything, it helped just because, more people were at home and drinking and with family more.
Sales went up.
Yeah, I feel like sales went up as far as that. But
yeah,
that's not the thing. It's just like I get new people, but I have to retain people. And I feel like that's with any business or anything.
Any product,
you can get
service.
Somebody to buy your jeans or buy this shirt. But, okay, what about next month? What about the month after that? Like, you know.
Yeah.
So
the listening at the events, and a lot of times I'm normally on the outside, but your story of why you guys started this, mm-hmm. I think that was dope. But it's, so do you not drink alcohol at all?
I do, but it's not very often.
That not often.
Yeah. I drink wine. I really don't like drinking my own wine, in a sense, because I'd rather sell it. But recently I've been drinking, like, my Riesling way more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
So you got into all the different palate tasting and all that stuff?
Yeah, I feel like naturally when you first start doing wine, you're on the sweeter end. But I feel like once you progress, like anybody progresses in learning more about wine or whatever the case may be, you naturally switch over to the, like, the drier wines,
yeah,
like Pinots and Cabs and Merlots and Chardonnays and different things like that. I feel like that is something that just naturally happens.
So I'll be talking to people about wine, and a lot of people, like you said, they'll start off sweeter, mm-hmm. you know. But for me, when I started off, the sweeter kind of got on my, I didn't really care for the sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, not yours. Like, I was drinking, you know, wines before that. It was the, just buying what everybody said, like Moscato.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too sweet. Sometimes it tastes like soap.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and that's, you know, usually, and really with our culture, like, that's what it is. Like, oh, Moscato. And that's why I started with sweeter wines, just because I know that.
A lot of people don't even know that.
It would sell.
It's not a such thing as pink Moscato. Like, it's really called Ruscato.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You'd be telling somebody you want some Ruscato, they'd be like, I'll take the pink Moscato. That's not accurate language.
Right.
What does it mean to get into the accurate aspect of wines for you? Like, does it, like, here, I do a lot with guns, mm-hmm. right? So when I'm talking to somebody and they'd be like, unload the clip, I'd be like, first of all, it's not a clip. It's a magazine.
Right.
Do that be bothering you when you hear certain technical aspects of wine?
No, it doesn't with me, just because I'm just like, I don't know. Like, stuff like that don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It really don't, man. For me, like, and a lot of people, like, think that I want to be, like, a wine specialist and
mm-hmm.
do all this. Like, that has never been a thing that I wanted to get into. Like, my biggest thing is just having a product that people like.
Okay.
And, you know, having something that people enjoy. So that's really my biggest thing in marketing it. And,
okay.
you know, really just having a lifestyle behind it, being able to travel to other states
yeah.
and cities and promote the wine and have wine tastings and different things like that. So, like, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to have a lifestyle to where I'm traveling and
some people can remember you by
different things, so
leaving a legacy.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the thing, man.
That's really my biggest thing. But no, I really don't. It doesn't bother me for real. And I'm not even really big on correcting people. You know,
mm-hmm.
when stuff like that happens, I kind of just let it go.
As long as they like it.
Yeah, yeah. In a sense, you know.
That's it.
Because I don't like when people do that. Like, I feel like that's irritating. Or sometimes people come off or try to correct you and it make you look like you a know-it-all. Or, you know, I don't want to be perceived like that. So I kind of just let it be what it is. You
know,
people want to know or want to be educated, and I'll tell them. But it's not something that if somebody makes.
That's the part I'd be looking for. I'd be looking for correction. I don't want to sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
Not to say everybody who says something wrong sounds like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, one of those things. If I'm talking about something, I wanna at least, you know, and it's good. I think it's dope, you know, if you maybe not correct somebody, but explain to somebody, you know, shows you know a little bit more about your craft.
Mm-hmm.
Something to do.
Yeah,
something to do. So what's been going on as far as outside of the sales, outside of like we said, you're in Miami. Who's next?
Oh, man, it's so many on the list, so many cities, it's so much everything, man. I kind of just, like, right now, like, Detroit is, like, a city that,
yeah.
like, when I went, we just went this past weekend, and we got a lot of love. A lot of people mess with the wine, and we just want to just focus on them. Got some big names that we're working with there, so we just want to, and also another black winery is called Detroit Vineyards. So I want to partner up and kind of come up with something to do some work with them. They do, like, this honey wine, which is something different that I, well, my, I'm familiar with it, but I, you know, it's not something that's people really don't know here. So I want to get into that, and they have some different wines that I want to partner up, and they want some, you know, learn some, do some things with me. So just vice versa, just, you know,
work with them. I kind of want to, like, go back to the origin of it, because where we met, you were still putting things together, and we have conversations about what it meant not to work a job, and if you really want to get everything you want, you gotta, you know, put the groundwork in, you know, similar to what I'm doing, as far as, you know, really creating that. What got you to a place where you understood wine was going to get you, if it doesn't get you what you want, it's putting you in position for what you want.
Right.
Why?
It just started, it branched off. It really was a family thing. One,
Pops is dope. Shout out to Pops.
Yeah,
for sure. Love Pops, man.
Going to different wineries with my parents. And my cousin Lou, not being able to drink as much alcohol just because of his condition and his weight. So, you know, that really translated to me getting into the wine thing. Really had no idea that I would even be interested into it like I am now. But it definitely has grown into like a passion of mine, like basketball and dance and other things like that. It has grown on that list. So,
you still coaching?
No, I don't, man. I really wanted to, but with the way the district is, if you're not in the district, then you can't, like, coach for the district, which is really weird. And I would have to, like, go to, like, a suburb school and be, you know, that. Then the time, and it's just a lot.
Still looking out for the kids, though.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. I'm always taking their calls. They call me and they need stuff. I'm there showing up to their birthday parties or their games or whatever. Like, I still want to be that guy just because I always wanted to just be who I needed when I was younger. Like,
that's
I
facts.
Was playing basketball and, like, my coaches never, like, you know, was anything like how I am with my students. So I just wanted to be that when I got in position to help help the youth.
What's the entourage look like?
Man, it ain't much.
It's not much.
I could tell you. You know what I'm saying? If you know me, man, you know who I'm with, man. They know who they are.
Like, man,
I don't know, man. I think that this over time people
started off bigger than where you're at in the end.
And people naturally like X themselves out.
Yeah.
You know, out of my life. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have happened with a lot of people that I thought that I would never, you know, part ways from or even step back from in a sense. But, you know, the things happen, you know, at the right time. I feel like the people who are not there wasn't supposed to be there or not supposed to be there when I'm at the position that I know I will be in. So,
accepting them for the season they supposed to be in.
Yeah. And I was just telling one of my guys that he was going through a lot. And he talking about, like, guys that, you know, betray him and did different things. I'm just like, man, it's kind of just like a movie or like a book. Like, a lot of the characters that start in your movie or your book aren't going to make it to the end. You know, some of these characters die off, and a lot of people have expiration dates in your life. Like, sometimes, you know, some people make it all the way through and some don't. Some people serve certain you know, purposes in your life, and then once those purposes are met, then those people fall off.
And it's
sometimes it's hard to accept that, especially when it's people that you love or people that you care for, people that you never would think that, you know, would not be in your life. But, you know, everybody isn't meant to make it to the end.
They're not.
And it's like I said, it's a hard pill to swallow. But, you know, just knowing life and just learning more and just getting older and mature, just, you know, it's something that I kind of just accept, you know.
When people
fall off, it's just, hey, they wasn't meant to be here. And I just continue on with whatever I was doing.
I was talking to a old mentor of mine, a good dude. He's like a legend musically in Cleveland, and we were just talking about the greed that's here in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of people who they look forward to the success, be it themselves or be it somebody they're connected to, and when the process of what you're going through to obtain it actually hits, it's like that whole commitment part of, look, I'm here with you till it, you know, to the end, mm-hmm. phase out. And it's a sad reality. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that link arms a lot here where we should. Like I was saying before, shouts out to you, you know, because before this was, and it still got a long way to go, before this was what it was, no question, just invested without invitation, without asking. Mm-hmm. And it's not a lot of that going on. You know what I'm saying? It's not a lot of that. Let's link up. Let's become partners, and associates of growth.
Right.
And us missing that, I think, continues to put us at a place of lack, because it's not like Cleveland don't go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. Everybody know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. It's just like we don't, and that mm-hmm. become the problem. That become an issue when we're trying to figure out, you know, where are we going from here? Well, we got a guideline. We got a blueprint. We just got to follow that and stay consistent and resilient and persistent in that. But then we get lost in the place of greed in a lot of times. One thing I love about doing this is it's not about the money. It's about a lot of times it ain't even about me. I'm bringing people here now. You know, either be it an interview or be it a conversation, I'm here so people get to know the person sitting across from me.
Yeah,
it's the platform, mm-hmm. and it's all about bringing attention to who's here. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want. I never wanted this thing to go big. I mean, let me make sure I'm saying this right. I never wanted it to go big, and I slighted who I could have talked to. You know, trying to get these big names and that be it. You know what I'm saying? If I miss people here, then did you really give back? Did you really give people a chance? Did you show love the way people show love to you? If you can't say that, man, how you looking at yourself in the mirror?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different time we living in. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's dope, man. You got people here. You got your mans here.
Yeah, man. Lou B, my guy, man. Whenever I'm, you know what I'm saying, need an ear.
Yeah.
You know, he's that guy when I'm gone or I got an event here and I got to go somewhere else, man. He step in, you know, mm-hmm. a huge piece of building this empire. And, you know, it'd be hard to do this without him, you know, honestly.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. He's been rocking with you since the beginning.
Yeah, man. Man, we used to talk about being in this position back in 2012, maybe. Yeah, around 2012, man, just like, and just to see where we at now, it's just like, man, I remember we was having these conversations, and the conversations we talking about now, like, I know, like, in a few years, we gonna be like, man, I remember we was on the way back from Detroit, and we was talking about this or that, and, yeah. You know,
yeah.
That's just how it go, so.
I mean, there's evidence of what it means in being consistent. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That what you want, you can have.
Mm-hmm.
What you want, you will get.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is people don't know they got to go get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that conversation, yeah,
it's tough, man. It's a lot of stuff going to it. You got to just keep going.
Yeah.
It's going to get hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Pops was telling us about some of these hard things that you go through.
Yeah,
you know, just I mean, from rules and regulations to permits to money, you know what I'm saying?
It's a lot, man.
Taking losses.
Yeah.
What's the biggest loss you took?
Man, I don't even know. So many, bro. I don't even know, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Probably one of the huge ones was having to sit down for like 9 months. Like when I first was like trying to get it out there.
Yeah.
Trying to obtain the license. Excuse me. Trying to obtain the license and having to continue to pay, because in order to get a license, you have to have a premises. So I had to pay my rent at my spot that I do all my labeling and bottling and that, the whole process of me getting my license. Mm. But I had to continue to pay for my apartment and my car and everything else that I had to do without having that extra money of selling wine.
Right.
So that was super difficult, you know what I'm saying? Really just trying to maintain life and do everything in the process of trying to get my license. So
okay,
yeah, that was probably the toughest thing, man.
9 months, product is ready.
Yeah,
but you got to sit on it.
Yeah,
my fault. Yeah,
it was tough, man, because they tell you when you look going to get your permit, it take 3 months, 90 days, you should be good. But like, it's so many different things you got to go through, all these papers you have to submit. They have to come out, the state of Ohio have to come out and check your premises, the city of Cleveland have to come out and check
permits,
you have to do background checks, you have to submit like blueprints of your building, the measurements. Like, it's a lot, man. It's a lot to go into it, and that process was crazy. Just sending papers back and forth to Columbus, and then you have all of these other counties and cities, you know, trying to get wine license and liquor license and everything else. So like, Columbus is like bombarded with all this paperwork and stuff. So like, it's kind of hard to get people on the phone, and they say, "Oh, you gotta wait another week. Call back in a week."
Yeah,
and those weeks add up. You know what I'm saying? So
that's facts.
That was probably one of the biggest things.
Just took a money loss.
Yeah, a lot of money
and an exposure loss.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine
before COVID,
right?
So like, I could have been out touring more. Like, yeah, I can go to other cities now, but it's really still not the same,
right?
Just because a lot of things aren't open. So I could have got, and then like the wine festivals in Ohio, like I could have did all of that before COVID and kind of like really got that exposure. But man, it's cool. I mean, everything happened the way it's supposed to in the time, and it's always what it's
push through, man. So, gotta push through.
Yeah, even now, like, man, I talk to a lot of business. I know a lot of people who own businesses, man. They just say, like, those first, like, 4 or 5 years, like, you're going to put out way more than you got coming in. So just weather your storm. Continue to weather your storm, because it's gonna cost you. But don't quit, you know. And a lot, and when I was in Atlanta, I went to the smoothie spot, and that's what the guy was telling me, the owner. He was like, man, my first 4 years, you know, just the money was just going out and out and out, and I wanted to quit, man. But, you know, going into that fifth year, everything turned around. That's when everything turned for my life. So, you know, me being in my technically second year, going into my third year of the company, you know, I see money from it, but I'm just trying to stay consistent with it, because I know once it get into the right person's hands, and you know, the right people get it, it's going to hit. So really just staying consistent with it.
Hitting the floor running. You know, you come up with this idea of becoming a business owner. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things I know that gets people stumped or in trouble or in a place where they're missing out of gain and process and all of that stuff is the legal aspect. How much research did you have to do just to get in the business? We're not even talking about picking out your wine. You know, I mean, EIN numbers, you know, all of that, business accounts.
Yeah, I mean, I did all of that stuff on my own, honestly. Yeah. I didn't have anybody showing me. And I feel like that's the reason why it took me so long to get it.
Yeah.
And that's why when people, like, it's just hard for me to, like, Not say it's hard for me, like, I do pass off information, but it's just like, man, when I was doing this coming up, I couldn't call or DM somebody who had a wine company.
Yeah.
Hey, how do you do this? Or what licenses do I need? And what, like, I give out information for free. Like, honestly, when people DM me, I get DMs all the time. My lady get DMs all the time. Like, yeah, how do you start your own wine company?
Beautiful young lady too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But,
shouts out to the lady standing on his arm.
But we I give out a lot of information that save people. They don't know, but this information I'm giving you saves you months,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
And that's how it should be, though.
Yeah,
you know, most moguls sometimes give out too much information. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's not reciprocated, it's not understood. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're giving out stuff and people are still asking. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just gave you game.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I just gave you
whole process, bro.
Yeah.
I literally did. With
the license, like, knowing what licenses to get, like.
Yeah.
In the process of what you had to do, like. If I would have had somebody tell me before I started it, okay, bro, like, you need to get these three licenses and you have to have your own premise before you can even start the process.
Yeah.
That would have saved me months. Maybe 3 or 4 months.
So you got started on the product before?
Yeah, way before. Way before. Way before I even got started the license process, I had already pretty much had the wine done.
That's crazy. Didn't nobody say nothing to you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know. And it's like, how many black, I mean, you have winemakers now, but before I got out in 2018, mm-hmm. going into 19, there were no black people having wine companies. So like, that information wasn't out. And ain't no, there's no like, well, I'm not going to say that because I did have some winemakers help me. Well, one, I should say. I'm not going to say some. I'm going to say one. But there were plenty of winemakers that's in Ohio. There's tons of winemakers in Ohio that didn't give me any help, give me any point or any direction, any anything. Only thing they gave me was a hard time.
Were they old heads?
Yeah, they were older. They were older.
Sometimes they'd be like that. Figure it out.
Like, I want to help people. But it's like, I don't want to take away from your process at the same time, because I feel like me helping you too much is like handicapping you from really going through the process.
And that's facts.
Learning and doing the things. You know what I'm saying? That's why when people help me, I'm thankful. But if I reach out to somebody who I know has the money to help me or has the information and they don't, it is like, okay, that's cool. Like, I respect it, but it's like, damn. But I know if they do tell me no, then this process or whatever I'm trying to like help get help with, I'm supposed to go through instead of around, in a sense. So, you know, when people help, it's cool. But if not, hey, it's cool. I just mean that's just something that I have to go through.
How many times do you get looked at as a weak link by other people you may have told situations? And because they're not in the same mental process of winning, they kind of look at you like, you should have did this, you should have did that. And these people are like real close to you.
A lot. I mean, I have before in the process of starting this, I have, but like, I have conditioned myself to become numb to that.
Yeah.
So it's like when people feel a way or say anything or have opinions about it, I listen, but I have a vision about how I want things to go and how I want things to happen. And that's what I stay true to. You know, God gave me the vision to do this and go through this process of everything. So I'm not going to let somebody who don't see what I see to kind of like change how, you know, my direction of how I want to go with my company.
Yeah.
So, you know, it used to make me mad, close relatives, you know, to the point where I was crying like, damn, like, why you ain't happy for me? Why you ain't supporting me? Why you ain't this? But like, you know, you go through it, you endure it, and it's like, I have the endurance for it.
It's a different level of mental toughness.
Yeah, it really is, man. Because, like I said, man, I didn't been through it, bro. Like at this point, like there isn't many things that I've in as far as business standpoint that I haven't been through. Like as far as family, close friends, people being this way, girls being that way, like anything, bro. Like I pretty much have done it. It's just really at the point now where that's why I know, like, I'm really at that breaking point of blowing, just because I feel like I have experienced the things that I needed to be able to survive and maintain on that next level.
Yeah.
So
you get flack, bro? Like as a person who's,
you said, have I?
No, you get flack? Like just as a person who stands with him through this, like, do people be like, are you, man, you wasting your time?
I mean, people gonna say what they want.
Right.
You know, people gonna have their own opinion. And I think it's just part of the game for real. And whatever, you know, you got going on in life, people gonna always have something to say.
I listen to E.T. Eric Thomas, hip hop preacher, a lot. His right hand man, CJ, always gets a lot of, you know, people saying, you're only with him because he know how to speak. You know, they never talk about the concept of him being there because he actually believes in what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, you know, you're a person who's always here because the fame. You're here because of your image of being connected to this person. I'm here to help. I'm here to grind just as hard as he is, and I'm here to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People, man.
Yeah, and I weeded those people out a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I'm, like I said, I'm ready to be at that next level, and I know it's just it's only a matter of time before I am, because everybody who's around, everybody who knows anything about the wine or the stuff that I have coming up, like, legit want to see me win, you know, win, lose, or draw. You know, if I'm a billionaire or this just it don't sell or and I'm flat broke, them same people going to be right there. And, you know, the people that's on my team, they have seen me up. They have seen me down.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't see me money. We kicking it out Miami. And they also see me where car was stole, got evicted, didn't have no money. And I'm calling them for rides. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the people around me, you know, been through it with me for real. So, just, like, I know, like, when it's time, I know who going to be with me. And it's not going to be no question.
Right. That's a better feeling to have to go into creating something, knowing who's with you. Even for me, like doing this, man, it's like I had people who was like, man, your podcast is like, man, they're like 2 hours, an hour and a half. Who gonna listen to that? And I said, if it ain't you, it's somebody else.
Yeah.
My numbers is going up.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting influenced by it. But it'd be the people who you expect. You kind of expect, you put them in the expectation pool of just full-on support.
Yeah, and that's one thing why I made a mistake at early. Like I said, and like doing the business is having that expectation for people that you feel, that, like you said, you put in that pool. Like, I know for sure this person is going to support me. I know for sure they're going to post me on Instagram. I know for sure that they're going to tell people about my wine. And when you do that, you set yourself up for disappointment because sometimes, not all the time, because, you know, I don't expect him to, but I know he will. I know my lady will. Like, I don't expect her to, but I know that she will. Anything that I post, you better believe, within 5 to 10 minutes, it's going to be on her page. Same thing with him. As soon as I post it, before he even liked the picture or the flyer or with anything, he texts me, bro, send me that flyer so I can post it.
I got two people the same way.
Like, I don't send her the flyers.
Right.
She can screenshot it.
Right.
And put it on her page. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, like, it's just, it's some people who will, but there's some who won't. And with those people who don't, you just kind of, it's like, okay, that's cool, but keep it pushing.
Any support is good support. If you looked at it, appreciate it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. For sure.
You got to keep that mentality, man. It's not going to be exactly how you want it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in a better place of getting what you want.
Yeah.
You know, even if you just take the time to look at it, if you're talking about it negatively,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving you something to talk about.
Yeah, and I felt that way even about this past event in March. Like,
there was some negativity behind that.
No, I wouldn't say negativity, but the support. We're mm-hmm. talking about the support aspect because the first event was free; you didn't have to pay to come.
Ah,
you know what I'm saying? 100 people, 100 more than what was at the second one, you know, in a sense. I had 420 at the first one. I had 350 at the second one. Still good numbers, but the first one was free. You could just come. You can eat. You know what I'm saying? I had a chef cater the food. I had dessert.
You did.
I flew my guy, Mac Royals, in from L.A. to come sing at the event. You know what I'm saying? Like, you getting all of this stuff for free. Like, you're not paying for nothing but the wine, in a sense. That's the only thing that you're paying for, or for glass. You want, like, one of the signature glasses, you was paying for that. But outside of that, you didn't have to pay for it. But fast forward a year later, when I have the event, okay, now you have to buy a ticket, or buy a section, or buy this or buy that. That was, now I can't make it, or I can't this or that. But it's just like, when it was free, you was there.
That's so.
And people who I thought that was gonna be the first people to buy tickets didn't.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what goes back to that expectation.
Yeah, stop putting people in expectation in the pool.
Yeah, you can't, man. You can't. People who do, man, my biggest thing, my biggest like thing from that March event was you know, the people who come out and support you, celebrate with those people, the people who don't, you know, it's okay.
Man. So, the second event I thought was more polished. As it should have been.
Yeah.
I mean, it was your second event.
Yeah, it really was, man, just because but just with anything, you learn from it. So, like, I took a lot of the things that wasn't ran smoothly in the first event mm-hmm. and applied it to the second one. So like the second event, we got in and we set up a day early.
Okay.
You know, so that was huge. And we got in early to like set up the iPads. Yeah. And we had higher staff, you know what I'm saying? And that was another thing at the first event. I was going off people who I knew. Hey, bro, can you do me a favor? Can you work behind the bar? Can you do this? Can you do that? We didn't do that. I'm like, man, we got to hire people. We hired bar backs to go around and make sure the trash was picked up. Make sure if it was a spill, we had spills. You know what I'm saying? So everything was ran smoothly because we prepped for it better.
As big as it was the return what you thought it should have been?
Ticket sales, yes. But wine sales, no.
Yeah.
The wine sales was similar to the first event. But I feel like that's just at this point, that's just an average of what I'll make off wine. Which is, I mean, not to say I didn't make any money. I made money off wine sales.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, I got 350 people here. If 350 people buy one bottle for $20, I'm doing math, easy math. Yeah. Or even if I got half people buy, I get the calculator
out right now.
You see what I'm saying?
I'll be like, hey, man.
Exactly.
Did all right.
Exactly. So, like, you know, just looking at that, or, you know, I got three flavors.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm doing like, man, I got 350 people tickets sold. I got 350 tickets sold. If half of these people bought all three flavors, I had this. Or if everybody in here bought one bottle, I'd be at that. You know what I'm saying?
Do you have somebody like, who's like really going over numbers?
No, man, I do.
Man, I was doing the bowl. I used to be a manager at Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I said, hey, man, I want some Chipotle, but I don't feel like going to Chipotle. So I know how to make it. So I just go to the store, spend more money at the store than I would have spent at Chipotle mm-hmm. on ingredients and all of that. And I make it. Mm-hmm. And I post it on Instagram and all that stuff. And everybody's like, I want a bowl. What started off.
Yeah, I remember that.
As like 10 orders. The next day came up to like 80.
Yeah, I know. You was going crazy.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
I think I was on like a weird diet when you did it. And I'm like, bro, I'm going to just send you the money for a couple bowls.
It was ridiculous. Like, because I didn't just do chicken. I did shrimp. I did a couple other things. Like, I was doing it. And my brother got so upset with me because I just put a price on it. And people was paying. He was like, you don't know if you're making enough money. You should be making more than this. And I was like, okay, so are you going to do it? Because I'm not going to do it. Right. I'm just not about to do it. I'm trying to keep up with orders.
Yeah.
I never expected, and then COVID hit mm-hmm. right after that. Now, I mean, I get people today still like, when are you doing a bowl again? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to start a whole Instagram page on this, and we started a whole Cash App and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that, man.
It was crazy.
And that's why, man, that's why, like, it's like me, on the other hand, like, I don't, like, look at stuff, like, when people make excuses about this or that, because, mm-hmm. like, I literally do everything.
Clearly.
Like, I label all of these bottles, front and back. Bottle all the wine. I filter all the wine. I cork everything. I seal all of these bottles. I keep track of numbers. I'm booking events. I'm shipping out. Like, I literally do everything.
You start a YouTube channel. That's all these dudes on YouTube be doing.
Man.
They be showing, like, these dudes, like, it's a couple people who they're, like, really heavy into fitness. And, they got clothing businesses. And they're showing, just doing it right from their house or their apartment, little condo. Mm-hmm. And they're just showing all these orders. They got a whole, they had to get a 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom apartment. No kids or anything because they have orders in their house. And, mm-hmm. you know, but people watch that and get inspired by it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's that concept of getting outside of the circle.
Yeah.
Getting outside of the people you expect to support you.
Mm-hmm.
Like with this thing, man, it's an honor to see people listening to it and they have no idea who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I have no expectation of them. When you're expecting people, like, I'll be asking the people I know, I'll be like, did you listen to it? They're like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, man.
And them be the ones, man. And that's what I come to realize. And you know, it's a tough pill to swallow, but that's just the reality, man.
Yeah.
You got to just go with the people who support you and the people who don't, hey.
Yeah.
Got to just,
you know. You know how dope it is to look your name up on Google?
Man.
and you see stuff like that,
yeah,
I'll be like, you're doing something.
Yeah, I know. You're, man, doing something. For sure.
Especially for me, having, you know, having a daughter, God forbid something happened to me, it's like, you know, she remember her daddy, mm-hmm, you know, in a certain kind of way. So I take that to heart.
Yeah.
You know, money is great, but being able to leave a concept lifestyle of respect that people remember, you know, they'll, mm-hmm, talk to her, your daddy was,
yeah,
pretty dope. You know, yeah, what I'm saying? Yeah, that's huge.
And that's been one of my biggest things. Like, man, when it's all said and done, like, I want to have the craziest funeral. Like, people are like, man, you crazy for thinking about your funeral. Like, no, like,
why not think of it?
I want to inspire and touch so many people that, like, they gotta be like, man, we can't have Dom at the church. Like, we gotta get the Brown Stadium.
Okay.
Like, we gonna fill the Brown Stadium up.
Okay.
Like, that's how many people that I wanna, you know, affect in a positive way to the point where, man, I can't fit in no church. I can't fit in no
hall.
Like,
no. That's
enough.
Goals though. That's bigger than selling wine. That's impact in the household. That's making a difference in somebody's situation,
whether you know them or not. And
I
go back to what you said earlier about the wine. I'm like, man, it's not really about the wine, about the money. It's just the fact that, you know, I want to have a product that people love and people enjoy. And when people see this, they like, man, Dom, it's a good dude. Like,
yeah,
I respond to every DM. It's like, oh, man, he's very approachable. It ain't like he's stuck up or he all uppity. Like, I'm not that. You know what I'm saying? Anytime anybody want to whatever. You know what I'm saying? If you need help, I'm not going to give you all the answers.
Yeah.
But I'll put you in the right direction.
You got to leave room for growth.
Yeah.
I'm not about to grow, boss you up.
Yeah.
You got to leave room for somebody to be like, I know what the process is like.
Yeah.
Stop relating that day one to the day 100, man.
Yeah.
People, I was just at an event. I did security for another event. And before that, I was I'm a musician. So a lot of people were talking to me and they knew about the podcast and stuff. And of course, anytime you start something, everybody wants to start something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm about to do a podcast.
Oh,
I'm about to do a podcast. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, my
okay.
How many wine companies in the city now?
Okay. All right. I'm not going to lie. The first one, I was like, man, he did this thing. I'm about to come up with a whiskey. I came up with a name for it and everything. I was like, stop it.
Man.
I don't have the wherewithal or the time to be looking into all this stuff.
Crazy, like how many? It's just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But that comes with it, man. When you come up with something great, like people are going to try to imitate it or try to do it too.
That was crazy because I never knew exactly what you were doing. You just said you was working on something.
Mm-hmm.
That speaks more volume than anything because it's like, you don't necessarily need to know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
People will try to shit on dreams.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just because they know
be
you got it.
You tell your plans to anyway, man.
Yeah.
You tell your plans and your goals and your dreams to a bad energy, man. They'll put that bad energy on your goals and what you're trying to do, man.
Yeah.
And mess your whole everything.
And then be quick to say, I guess you ain't had the time to follow through. And what happened now? You done fell off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would have stayed on if you was a little bit more different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I gave you too much respect. Gave you too much authority over situations. And that be the thing, man, is the concept of trying to relate to everybody and trying to be okay with putting people in the same position that you actually work for. Clearly they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that becomes hard. That becomes a struggle. It's because it's like, man, we should all grow together. Let's all do it. Let's all make it. But it gets bad. So what's next, man? You got any new wines coming out? You got any
Yeah, I do, man. I have a wine coming up. Bringing the cab back.
Okay.
Dry red wine, that's coming back soon. I'm about to start promotion for that next week. So you're going to start like seeing little snippets of that coming up. And then I won't do anything until March when it's time for my anniversary event. It'll be on March 13th. We haven't set the venue yet. Still, like, I got a few spots that I'm looking at, but nothing is solidified yet. But, yeah, I'm looking at March 13th. My actual anniversary is March 16th, so that'd be that Saturday before. So
okay,
yeah, just getting ready for that. I'm not doing a new flavor, but I'm going to do like an anniversary like set in a sense. So it's gonna come in this nice box. It had a bottle and a signature glass in there, different than my, because I usually have signature glass at all of my events. They have, they're usually different colors, and they had like the Dedede event on there. So I'll have like the regular glasses, and then I'm gonna have like these special glasses inside of the case with the bottle.
Who comes up with these ideas?
Me, man.
Now your boy, who's always the who can't drink like that.
Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his role?
He does a lot of the marketing, a lot of marketing, promoting different things like that. Like, Lou has his own thing going on. Like, he's in his own
lane. DJing and
his own thing. Yeah, he's all over. But, you know, since he's in these different restaurants and bars and clubs promoting, like, we kind of go hand in hand. So, like, if he's DJing somewhere new, he'd be like, hey, I got this wine. You need to get it on your, you know, on your bar, pretty much. And then vice versa, if I go to another spot, like, you know, I've been in Detroit, I've been in Philly, I was in Atlanta, all these other spots. I'm like, hey, I'm coming to a wine tasting. Yeah. I got my own DJ. He the best in Cleveland. He needs to be here.
Yeah.
So, like, we kind of, I mean, we would do that anyway, you know, just because we family and we, you know, so we're going to look out for each other anyway. But, you know, it's just one hand wash the other. You know, he in spots, he look out for me. When I'm in new spots, I'm like, hey, I got a DJ. Let's get him here.
Well, we here looking out for you, bro. Listen, if you like wine, do yourself a favor. And if you're in the Cleveland area, you can go to Cedar.
Yeah, Cedar and Green, across from the Highness.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Grill 55. You can go to Mitchell's. You can go to Center Street Beverage, the store in Bedford. You can go to Silk's, Sam Silk's new restaurant.
And they all sell your wine.
They all sell the wine, man. I got a bunch of spots. And then you can message me on Instagram if I'm able to deliver.
You trapping out the car, y'all?
Yeah. I'm available to deliver, man. Okay. I'm never too proud or be like, oh, I'm too good to do this or do that. I'm too high to deliver wine. I'll deliver the wine to you.
Yeah.
You know. And then if you're out of state, you know, I ship out. You know, the website is www.lamontavenuewines.com. You can get on there, purchase. I'm going to be honest. I'm not the best with shipping out. When I say that, not as packaging it, but getting it out. So, like, I try to get it when the order comes in, it immediately hits my phone. I try my best to get it out that next day. If I'm at the shop, I'll pack it up and send it out. If it comes in tonight, then I'll try to do it that next day. But that's not really my thing. And that's really been my hardest thing, really, with the company, is trying to get a solid team of people to delegate certain responsibilities to.
Yeah.
Because, like, I look at...
But I'm not getting paid. What I'm about to do? You
know, it ain't even about the money. It's just I want people to have the same love for it. Or not even the same love, because no, I don't feel like no one would have the same love for it that I do. But somewhat close.
A passion just to help.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not hard,
like,
to come by.
Like, even with the labeling, like, I take a lot of pride in the labeling. I do all the labeling, but like, all of my labels are the same way. I feel like I have, like, a muscle memory of putting the labels on, like, shooting a free throw, in a sense. Like, the labels are literally in the same spot on every bottle. And it was so crazy last Saturday, this girl had my wine that I had no clue of. She posted it. I seen the notification.
That's how it happens.
I click on her page. She has 715,000 followers. Not on her story. She posted it on her actual page. Like, something about Lamont Avenue. She holding the bottle, like, just showing it. And I'm just like, man, what... If,
exposure.
Yeah. And then what if the label was crooked? What if I had somebody put it on who didn't really care about the bottle and had the label on crooked? She looked at it like, man, this raggedy bottle, the label on crooked, like, both labels, they not even, the thing not sealed even, like.
Now, you came up with this concept of the bottle.
Yeah.
You said you wanted something different with the top.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to come to a... that's it moment?
Well, I knew how, exactly how I wanted to look, but it was just a thing of finding a vendor to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what it was. It took me a while to find. But of course, I found a company who did the cork, so that wasn't a thing. It was really just trying to get the right price point. But the labels was hard. You know, it took me like maybe 4 or 5 months to find a company who to do it. I found a few, but they were like super expensive, and I had to get them in a super like large quantity.
Yeah.
So the people that I work with now are in Japan, and they do an amazing job with them. Soon as I email them, I'm getting a response right back. They're right on top of it. 1.5, 2 weeks, I'm getting my labels, and they're quality every time. So you know, I'm definitely thankful for that, man. And they really take my vision and what I send them, you know, the digital version that I send them, and they really bring them to life every time. And my Paradise label and my Summer Edition label, like, really the ones that were, like, really
smacking.
I was like, wow. Like, when I first got my Paradise labels, I'm just like, man, this is crazy. Because I just imagined a gold label. Like, man, I want a gold label. There's something about gold. I don't know what it is. It kind of just sticks out on the bottle.
Mm-hmm. So sticks out in everything.
The Paradise bottle is crazy. And then the Summer Edition bottle, the one that just got discontinued, was crazy as well, man. It was all red. With the silver, and the silver on the label complimented the silver cork, and it just, the bottle was just amazing. So
nice. Give me a second to pay the bill.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast and want to support, please go on anchor.com/thegrayareapodcast. Look for Andrew J's, and if you can and want to and would like to, you can support with a monthly subscription or just a gift. Thank you again for your support. We acknowledge you and all of that. So, with that being said, you normally do something new. You got any new flavor wine coming out?
Not nothing new. I mean, I had the cat once before, but I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
But not really a new flavor.
That Paradise.
Yeah, I'm telling you something about crazy.
That Paradise. It's got that peach flavor, that little peach scent in it. Mm-hmm. I'm a peach fanatic. I tasted that right off rip. Mm-hmm. Like, give me three of them.
Yeah.
Off rip.
Yeah, it's legit. But no, not really, man. I'm going to do the cab. Just so I have a variety of everything. I'll have a semi-sweet white, a dry red, and then a sweet red and a sweet white. You know, really just to hit everybody across the board. Whatever you drink, I'll be able to provide. But, like I said, I'm going to do a anniversary bottle in March. You probably won't. It will be a different wine in that bottle, but I don't think that the way the bottle is going to look, you're not going to want to open it.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'm getting in my bag on this one.
Oh.
Yeah. It's going to be four. Nice. It's going
to
be nice.
I have to buy five.
Yeah, the case is super nice.
Okay.
It looked like similar to like how the Jordan box is when you get the pack and it has two pairs of shoes in it.
Okay.
Like pack, yeah, it's similar to that. So
he's got a new tequila out.
Yeah, Cinco Row. We had it for my birthday in Miami. It's not all that.
It's not.
No, the bottle is very nice.
The bottle is dope.
The bottle is crazy.
But a lot of people were trying to relate it to 1942. That's my.
Yeah,
1942 is my.
42 is cool, man.
But
Azua is definitely the best.
I was trying to get what I had the other day. We was talking about that.
What you posted?
Yeah, but they didn't have it. They were sold out. I was trying to go cop one right before we got here, but they didn't have it. I'm gonna definitely get one.
Yeah,
break bread
Cinco,
with you.
Cinco Row is cool. Say we had it in Miami, man. We
130 for that.
We had I think it was more than that. How much was it in Miami? About $40, $50.
Up here is $1, $1.20.
It was something like that, $1. Man. $1. I think we paid $180 or $190 for 42.
Remind me not to move to Miami.
Yeah.
I don't even like Florida all like that. It's really something wrong with them down there.
Yeah, man. We have a great time.
Yeah, I'll be down there kicking it, though.
Yeah. And my lodge is in there. But, but yeah, man, and even, I mean, we got Azul, which is my personal favorite. I think that one was.
That's that other square bottle.
That's the one that's white and blue, and it got the bell on top.
I'm not hip.
white and blue. Oh, you gotta be hip to Azul. It's a white and blue bottle, and they got a bell on the top. People be like hitting the top of the bottle.
I gotta stop going to work, brother.
Oh man,
I'll be at work.
You say you like 42.
Now,
like,
I love 42, man. I look 42. First time I had it, I actually bought it for my dude's birthday. Mm-hmm. Cause he be out of town a lot. And we normally be buying shoes together and stuff, but I didn't know if he had bought the specific pair of shoes that came out at that time. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm not even going to ask him, because if I ask him, then he going to know what I'm getting. So I was like, let's just do something that we enjoy. We both like tequila. So I was like, let me try this bottle of 42. And I prefer that over 44. A lot of people put Avion 44. You disagree? Oh, that. So I have not had that yet. It's a old Chinese looking bottle.
Man, Azul is the best.
Is it?
Like, you know, like 42 got like that, like vanilla hint.
Yeah. It's 42. I don't mix it with nothing. And if I'm going to chill it, I'm chilling my cup. I'm not putting ice in it or nothing. Because I just feel like you're just doing it a disservice.
If you get that Azul, you're going to think different. I'm telling you.
It's better than
I done had probably every tequila there is. When I was in Mexico, I did like a Mexican like tequila tasting.
Okay.
I should say. So I done had pretty much every American tequila there is, but I also had a bunch of Mexican tequilas. But Azul is definitely like, it's top notch, man. I really don't think
I be seeing it.
And they have different ones. So like they got like the Respirado is the one that everybody in the white and blue bottle, but they also have a Añejo version, which is like $500-$600.
Ooh.
And they have
I still have not had the Añejo
that's in a black Patron. In a black bottle. Añejo Patron?
I have not had the Añejo, the yellow.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool, man.
I haven't had
it. Have you had Contera? Contera tequila. That's tequila that I'm partnered with.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like that's better than the Don Julio and Añejo, and also the Patron and Añejo, in my opinion. Not just because I promote for them, but I feel like it is. And I feel like that's the reason why I do. Just
how'd you do that?
The quality is. The liquor store that I sell my wine at on Cedar, the owner, she was telling me about it. She was like, man, get this. I'm telling you, man, it's better than Patron. It's better than Julio. Get this. So, like, one, you know, like, during the pandemic, it's like liquor shortages has been crazy,
bruh.
So there wasn't any Patron, there wasn't any Julio. I'm like, man, that's that tequila that Ro was telling me about up at the liquor store. So I get it, and I was like, man, this is good. Like, it's smooth. Like, I had two shots, and I was like, lit. So I'm like, man, it's good, but it gets you like there fast. Like, sometimes with Patron, Julio, it take you a little bit to get there, but like, no, you drinking Terra, you're going to feel it. You're going to be good. It's smooth. It don't have, like, no bite on the end. It's legit.
So you partner with them?
Yeah. So back to that. So, like, I was, like, just tagging them. Like, every time I buy a bottle, I would tag them. Like, man, it's the best tequila, Woody Woo. And I had Geek, you know what I'm saying, just DM'd them. Like, hey, man, this legit. Or I said, so I don't remember exactly what I said to him, but I DM'd the guy. Come to find out, he's from Dayton. The owner of Contera Tequila is from Dayton, Ohio. Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta step out and do it,
bro. That's what I'm saying. I didn't know that he was gonna DM me. I mean, people DM verify pages all the time.
All the time.
You know what I'm saying? Celebrities, whatever. I didn't think I was gonna get a response. And when he responded, you know, he like, thank you. You know, I see you got your own brand. So we was DMing back and forth for like a couple of days. And I'm just talking about my wine, my numbers, like how much wine I go through. He was telling me about like the tequila and different things like that. So I'm like, man, send me an address, and I'll send you some wine. So I packed the wine up. I sent it down to him. He was just like, man, he can't, like, really get into the sweet wines, but his daughter loved it, you know, because he's older. Of course, he got to watch the sugar. So he was like, man, I can't get into it, but my daughter loves it. So this was right before the mall party. This was a week before the mall party that we had, that rooftop party that we had. And I was telling him, like, man, I think that the Contera be perfect. I can get some good pictures for you. I could promote. I can get like some first impressions and everything. So he was like, man, let's do it. I'll send you some bottles. So my mom sent it. I gave her my mom address. So you know, he sent the bottles and it came in this fancy case. I was like, man, like he really sent it. So I got the wine at the Mauve party. I mean, the liquor at the Mauve party, the Quintero tequila. And I'm, you know, passing the bottle to people. Like, hey, take your pictures with this for me. You know what I'm saying? Get a shot of it. Like, I'm just mobbing and promoting it like I promote, you know, Lamont Avenue for real in a sense. So it kind of, we kind of just put the relationship from there.
Well, you're going to have to.
Yeah, man, for sure, man. Next time you're in a liquor store, check it out. It's called Quintero Tequila. It's in a square bottle. It has like a wooden like frame outside of the bottle. It's super nice. And you'll love it for sure. Definitely good.
Lamont Ave. Lamont Ave, man. You got anything? You got any special flavors coming?
No, man. Like I said, I won't. I got the cab, but I won't have anything. I got the, like I said, the limited edition one in March for my anniversary event. I had like an anniversary case, but I really won't be doing anything until the summer. I have a great idea about what I want to do. I'm not going to dive into it now because it's still super early. You got to follow Lamont Avenue on Instagram to keep up and get those details. But I have a design for the bottle already. The bottle, excuse me, the bottle is going to be super dope. And the wine is great. And a mistake that a lot of people made with the summer edition was a lot of people slept, you know, on it. And then when it was time for me to like, okay, I'm discontinuing this wine next week. So I took it from the first weekend of summer to Labor Day weekend. So people was buying it over the summer, but not as much. So then when I'm like, okay, this discontinue, I have this many bottles left. It's like, oh, it's a crazy rush for it. Now everybody wants it. Now the demand was crazy. So now people who have bottles, I know people who had bottles were selling them for $50 and $60 when I was only selling them for $15. At the time, when they were on sale, they were $15. So, you know, the demand went up crazy. So I feel like when people see my new summer edition coming out next summer, they're going to jump on it and save them. Yeah, get something to drink. I encourage you to get it a drink because the wine is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But I want you to get something to save because if you're following Lamont Avenue, these summer editions are very limited.
Okay.
And when they come out, there's only for the summer. And then when Labor Day weekend comes, they'll be discontinued. So you want to try to keep those things. So, you know, when things blow, you can be like, man, I had the first summer edition. Or I have the summer.
That's why I keep my bottles. I have the second bad boys edition. Signed.
Yeah, for sure. For
they
sure,
signed, man.
And I tell people that all the time, man. Like, I know that this product is going to go. It's an amazing product. Amazing bottle. A great story behind it. A lot of people can relate to it. And I know that it will blow. So, you know, it's just only a matter of time, man. I feel like life has given me the different, I would say, necessary, like, situations that put me in to, like, maybe learn and make and open my eyes to certain things. And I feel like, you know, with that being said, I'm ready. I'm definitely ready, man. I know what's going to happen. And it's only a matter of time, man. It's inevitable.
Okay.
Like I said, I've been thinking and dreaming about this life forever. And
it's yours, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Lakers or Heat?
Oh, Lakers, easy, man.
Okay.
Lakers in three.
Had me a little scared there in the first half.
Like, not me, man. Not me.
I didn't watch it. I was at work, so I got Bleacher Report, and it
yeah,
brought
they were
up
down 23-10,
bruh.
You know, with those teams, they go on runs. They start out, they're young, but
I don't know. Jimmy Butler looked like he off of blood.
Yeah, he is, but you can't do it by yourself. And Lakers have a veteran team. You got a bunch of people who've been on that stage before, and a great coaching staff. And one thing about a good coach and a great coach will win games, but great coach make adjustments. So like, I feel like Miami came out strong, Miami made those adjustments they needed to make. And they recognized, well, I picked up on it early that they only have one big.
Okay.
So what do? You attack the big. If it's only one big, get him in foul trouble. Then what does that force Miami to do? Go small. When they go small, what do? Go big. Okay, who's going to check Anthony Davis? Who's going to get rebounds? Who's on this and who's on that?
So, here.
Like, LeBron was throwing full-court passes.
Oh, AD, he was pulling the Magic Johnson's for real.
Yeah, AD got the guy sealed all the way down the court, and he just throwing the pass up. They getting a foul, trouble, getting a penalty, getting free throws. Like, when you play like that, man, you only thing you can do is win.
He said
why they will be swept.
He said, sure. Yeah, he definitely – Jimmy Butler definitely said, he was like, you know, we can't play this game and we not perfect on everything.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue to lose. But I just don't see an answer, bro. I just don't.
Yeah, they're too small, man.
Yeah. I mean, people were talking about Jimmy Butler, you know, providing a defensive edge to LeBron, which, okay, you may slow him down to a degree. You're not about to stop him, though.
Yeah, but it's not about LeBron. That's the decoy.
Oh, yeah, because he's running the whole game through AD.
You got Jay Crowder checking AD.
It's a laughing stock.
You got a 6'6", 6'7", guy checking a 6'10", 6'11", guy.
Who also got a 3.
Like,
he put it down.
He's in foul trouble. You got to bring in these guys that ain't never touched none of the playoffs this whole time they've been in the bubble. They ain't touched the court. Now you got to put them in because your main guys is in foul trouble. And I'm looking at their roster. They're not deep at all. They don't have many guys on their roster.
The underdogs really took the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Outside of the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, with the Nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody seen
them. They were taking it this year. You know, I don't know if they should have fired Doc Rivers.
Man, they got him fired, man.
But, I mean.
You got a Hall of Fame coach like that.
I mean, he's not, at the end of the day, if you're not producing,
Wild Leonard,
you close. This year,
yes, they did. Facts.
He had Chris Paul, it was close. He had this guy, it was close. Had that guy, it was close. Like, okay, how many times you going to be close?
And then
when you going to get over the hump?
Then you fall short.
They looking at the team that they had, like, okay, you got Kawhi, you got Paul, you got PG, you got this guy, you got that guy. It's like they're expecting you to produce.
They
got to
put the ball in the hoop at the end of the day. They ain't contribute that last game.
At all.
I think Kawhi, he had like 2 points in the second half.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
It's tough, man. It's tough. But, you know, I done been on both ends, so. You know, I feel the player and I feel the coach. You know what I'm saying? Like you saying, you can't – at the end of the day, the player's got to put the ball in the hoop. But
you play with my cousin.
Who?
Jeff Thomas.
Jeff Thomas. Jeff Champ? Not Thomas.
Jeff Thomas, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know who Jeff
is. He came out 09.
Jeff was a little older than me. He played with
– He came out 09.
My big brother.
They won the state championship that year.
Yeah. That's when I first got to Central.
Okay.
Yeah. I was playing.
Oh, yeah. I forget you. Yeah. Because I got Jeff beat, too.
Yeah. He played.
Young Bucks.
He was playing. He was a senior.
Yeah.
When I was coming in, he was coming out. But okay. Yeah, I know Jeff.
Yeah.
Good dude.
It's my cousin.
Man.
He's still full of crap.
Yeah, for sure.
That's but good dude name. All the way around. Listen, man.
Yeah, that thing was crazy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they was. They
that
you.
Was tough. I couldn't get on varsity that year, my freshman year, man. We had some good guys, man.
So competition be taking place in so many areas of life, man. Would you say that? I mean, and this is going back into the business aspect. You playing ball in high school, and that mentality of knowing you got a certain degree of game, but hey, look, this is the gun line, boss.
Right.
Are you able to do this or not? Because we're not going to put you in a place where you cannot compete.
Right.
What does that do for you? And then how does that promote you further off the court? You know, mentally and other areas, especially in this area where, like you said before. You came up with this whole idea of wine. There was nothing. Now there's all this. It could be looked at as competition, and you know who's going to raise the bar, who's going to set the standard, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I feel like in as far as the sports aspect, there is the competition thing because like when they say when you sleeping, there's somebody up in the gym. But
that's facts.
As far as the business thing, I don't see any competition at all. Not any to be cocky or anything, but, like, I just don't. Like, these other winemakers, I don't look at their Instagram. I don't see what they're doing. I don't care. I feel like that may be like a mature thing. Like, I don't know what it is, but I just don't care. Like, I'm literally so locked in on what I have going on with Lamont Avenue and where I wanted to go and the places I'm trying to get it in and the rooms I'm trying to get it in that I don't even have the time to even think and look over at the next person and see what they're doing. Like, I haven't even, to be all honest, only wine in Cleveland or whatever, they're not even black owned. There's a winery in Cleveland. It's Cleveland Urban Winery. That's the only wine that I have tasted in Cleveland that's made by Cleveland owners. I haven't tasted anyone else's wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, even at that point, like, I don't even care to know what they even taste like because I'm so confident in what I have and I know this was sale that I don't even care to even know what the competition is even doing.
I think there's so many flip sides of that. Like, you have your side where it's like, you know, I don't care to know. And then you got me. I be listening to everybody's podcast. What are y'all talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What's going on over here? What's your edge?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's your angle?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I never got into it for real, man. I feel like it's dope to
have an aspect of just focusing on your own lane.
I definitely focus on what I have going on, man. I do try to come up with new ideas or look for other people for new ideas. Sometimes I like, okay, they did this. Oh, that was raw. Like, even with 19 Crimes bottle, like when you got the app and you put the phone up to the app. I mean, you put the phone up to the label, you get like this message, like the label starts talking. Did you know about the 19 Crimes label?
No, sir.
Okay, so like the 19 Crimes wine, very popular wine.
Very popular, very weird, and very...
Yeah.
I feel like I'm buying slave owner's wine.
Yeah, you kind of get those vibes.
Okay.
But they have an app, so like when you're on the app and you click on the camera thing, you put your phone up to the label, it starts to talk, and it kind of gives a story about whatever. I haven't done it, but I've seen it
before. I'm about to do it tonight.
And then even Snoop Dogg, he has a version of 19 Crimes, and when you put the phone up to his actual bottle, then Snoop Dogg starts to talk and come alive.
Really?
So that's like, it was a good idea. That made me like try to come out with a different...
I mean, you make it your own. As far as I'm saying,
that's them. That's what makes them 19 Crimes. People know their wine is good, but... Because that's what I was drinking before, you know, I really came out with my own wine. I was drinking 19 Crimes, but they have a great wine.
I drank that one time. I was like, this is not wine here.
Yeah. They have a bunch of different wines, though. I don't know which one you had.
This is disrespectful to drink if you ain't ate nothing.
Yeah.
this is a bad night.
Yeah, they have a bunch of different things, man. But we, I mean, that's what makes them. And I feel like my bottle and my story and my cork makes my...
Oh, it definitely does.
What it is.
It gives a character.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, it can, I'm not going to say it makes or breaks you. It gives you your own significance in the area that you're in. One thing I hated, and I'm just saying this, just being honest, like I started this and it's called the gray area. And of course, if you go on Apple Podcasts, you go on Spotify, you go on anything, the gray area is everywhere. A whole bunch of different podcasts. And luckily, before I did that, I had already developed the concept of why I was starting it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I didn't change the name. Because for me, it meant something. I knew what it meant for the... I mean, I'm lucky to say I have some faithful listeners. Not like, you know, it will be. But people who listen to it, I mean, I got one of my best friends. You know, he travels and he says, you better make sure you hit every Tuesday. Because when I'm traveling home, I want something to listen to. I want something good to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think of that, it's like, you know, I'm not going to change the name because the reality of why I started this was to, like I was telling y'all earlier, to infect the culture,
mm-hmm.
affect the culture, and leave a residue of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm looking to hit your heart. I'm looking to hit your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the difference in, okay, there's a million and one wines. This is what makes yours different.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it could be a million and one podcast called The Gray Area. What's going to be my difference?
Right. Yeah, and I feel like with my wine, like I named it Lamont Avenue. Lamont Avenue is a street that I grew up on. Whole family was raised there.
Funny thing is, it's kind of like, you know, how strippers come up with a porn name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a story behind. Not all the time, but sometimes it is. Like, you know, the house on the front.
This is my street name and my favorite color.
Yeah. You know, the house on the front is the house that I grew up on. So, like, grew up in. So, it's like everything has you know, a purpose and a symbol and everything. And it's like just me looking at the label, you know, now just is, I just laugh because like I remember pulling up to my grandmother's house, my car actually got edited out. So my car was like, I never even told this story.
Okay.
So like you getting exclusive.
All right.
So my car was actually in the driveway of like right next to the house. The car was in the driveway. And I parked my car. I didn't even tell my grandma that I was even there. My grandma still lives in the house. So I didn't even tell her that I was there. I pulled up. I'm like, man, I gotta get this picture because I'm trying to get this label done. I pulled up in the driveway. Didn't even turn my car off. Walked down the street. Look, took the picture. I'm like, this is how I want this to look. So then I sent it to my guy. I'm like, dude, I took the picture, but I forgot that my car is parked in the driveway. I'm like, man, is there any way that you can edit it out? And he was able to edit my car out. Hmm. And we went with that. And we designed the Lamont Avenue, like with the roads going.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty much the rest was history.
I think I hear a new story about this wine every time.
Yeah, man. It's a lot, man. I got a lot, man. It's a lot. I can talk about it forever, man. It's my process and everything. Like, it's crazy. Like, we talked about this. I was on a podcast. When was that? Monday? It was Monday I was on a podcast.
Who?
It's called We Saucy. We Cleveland? Saucy podcast. Yeah.
Okay.
And,
We Saucy.
Yeah.
So I was shouts out to We Saucy.
Yeah, for sure.
Big shout out.
So I was on there and I don't know how we got on the subject of tacos.
Hey, taco nights be going.
Right.
Okay, especially if it's done right. You ever had pineapple on your shrimp taco? Bruh, pineapple on your shrimp taco. Be going.
See, this is what I was getting to. I don't eat tacos.
What's wrong with you?
This is what I'm saying. It's the story behind it.
Oh. So,
some people know this, but not a lot of people know this. So, like, in the process of me going to the first event, I set the date, and this was maybe, I set the date in November. The event was in March. So I'm looking at the calendar. I'm counting these weeks, like my paychecks, the school group home, because like my checks fell, you know, opposite week. So every Friday I was getting a check. And I'm like, man, I got these many weeks until this event, but I got to get this much money to pay for all of this stuff that I got to do before March 16th. So I'm like, man, what can I cut out? I'm like, man. I eat crab legs maybe once or twice. Like maybe, I ain't gonna say once or twice, maybe two or three times a week.
He's rich.
So I love crab legs. He's rich. That's one of my favorite things.
Snow crab, king crab.
Man.
Don't tell him yourself.
Do I
now.
Choose or which one do I usually eat?
Which one you usually eat?
I usually eat snow.
Oh.
But if I'm fancy,
you about to pull that king out.
Or if I hit a lick, if I'm like, I didn't sell a couple of cases. Okay, cool. I'm going to get some.
The claw, I just found out the claw got a lot of meat in it.
Yeah.
They started selling them at Sam's Club, BJ's, Costco's.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just like, man, what can I cut out? I'm like, man, I gotta chop my diet. So, like, I ate tacos every day. Tacos and turkey sandwiches every day from like mid-November into March.
And like, that was your way of conserving money?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I told myself in this process, it was one day I was like, man, because like I would literally go from the school, work to school from 8. We got there like 8:15 to about 3:30 was leaving. And then I would go right to the group. I would leave there at 3:30 and go right to the group home at 4. And I would work from the group home. I did a double every day. I worked from 4 in the evening until 7 in the morning.
I remember us talking about that because I was working like that too.
Yeah. So I would get off at 7 in the morning. My apartment was on the next street from my job, my group home job. So I would leave there. I would leave there at 7 in the morning, go home, get in the shower, and then go back to the school at 8.
At least he was clean.
And do it all over again every single day.
Bruh.
So in the process of that, I told myself, like, once I get to the point where I don't like my I have the business running how I want and my money is going the way I wanted to, I would never eat a taco ever again. And since my launch or since that process, I have never eaten a taco.
I'm sorry. Cause tacos be life.
Man, dude, I can't, man.
Tacos be life. Like, man, Condados? Tacos,
yeah, Condados is good. They got good margaritas.
Or but, cilantro tequila over there on Coventry. Y'all been? Bruh.
See, I'm not, man. I'm not a taco guy. I refuse to eat a taco because it reminds me of my struggle.
Ain't nothing wrong with being reminded of the struggle, brother.
Yeah, I know. I can't. I can't.
Hey, look. I can't. Real talk. Like, I just moved. I'm not going to put all my business out there, but I just moved. I bought ramen noodles. I bought rice packs, like not a whole bag of rice, like the ones that come in single packs. You warm them up in the microwave. Mm-hmm. Tuna, I felt like I was in jail. Right. Tuna and some little chicken breast. Mm-hmm. Bruh, some nights, all of that in one. Mm-hmm. With some Parmesan cheese on it and some hot sauce, that's the struggle.
Right.
But I promise you, I could have $1 million a day if I'm hungry. I promise you, I'm not about to stop.
Yeah, okay, man. That's just me. Like, I just told myself, like, I can't even remember the exact day or what I was thinking or what I was going through that day. But I'm just like, man, yeah, I can't do this. I could never eat a taco ever again. And I haven't. And that was in 2018 going into 19. It's 20 going into 21. I haven't eaten a taco.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Why'd you pick tacos, bro? You should have picked something else, like beans and rice or something.
No, I'm not a beans guy.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, black beans on a taco?
God, you know what I'm saying? Like, get a pack of ground beef. You know what I'm saying? Get some
you know
cheese,
what?
Tacos,
you
some
know what?
Shells, some cheese.
I'm about to do a taco
up,
night. Y'all got to come.
Roll it up like a blunt. Eat that joint with some chips. I'd be cool. I'd be cool. That's
my mouth watering. Think about it.
That's what I was.
It's about
that's
to go.
I was eating every day, man, and I'm just like, man, I can't do this. But you know, I have evolved from that, and I appreciate what happened. I'm not saying that I don't. I definitely appreciate what I've been through with it because it humbled me in a sense because I was used to eating whatever I wanted to. To, you know what I'm saying, like, man, I gotta eat this. If I wanna make this happen by March 16th, I have to eat this. I have to save this money. I cannot go out. Like, yes, my guy's going out. Yeah, my cousin's DJing. Yeah, this party is this or that. But I can't. I can't go because I have a greater purpose in a couple months. And it hurt it, but it hurt. I should say hurt it isn't a word. It hurt, but, you know, I'm here. You know, I'm still standing.
Now you're kicking it in Miami.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I want to go to Miami.
I'm blessed to be able to do a lot of things that I do. Not even, you know, just that. Like, you know, a lot of traveling I do. Like, I got Dubai coming up in March. And
I'm sorry, what?
Dubai. Yeah, I leave for Dubai March 22nd. Yeah, so, like, man, it's a lot of things.
What about COVID?
Man.
COVID?
It's cool, man.
COVID.
Gotta keep living, man.
And see, so I'm going somewhere for my birthday. My birthday's coming up. Anybody who wants to Cash App, we'll get you. We'll put that out there in a minute. Birthday's coming up in 2 weeks. Wait, 3 weeks. October 27th. Mm-hmm. Your boy, 30. So, but I'm leaving, right? I'm going. I decided it's 30. It's nothing to do here. I've done the kick it scene, the bottles, the sections. I've done all of that. I've never been to Vegas. Everybody's been to Vegas. All the stuff I've done some stuff. I've never been to Vegas. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm just going to Vegas. But kind of crappy time to do it. It's COVID going on. But like, yeah, you said, you got to live. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's just like, and then today was crappy. A whole bunch of stuff happened. But I'm like, I'm going to buy this plane ticket because life ain't going to stop. You're not about to stop being an adult. So if you can, I mean, responsibly, you know, handle your business first. But if you can, go still enjoy yourself to a degree. God forbid you come back with COVID because I had it and it sucked. 2 months. The worst. April and May. Wouldn't wish that on nobody. You ever had the flu? I caught the flu at that job we worked at with them kids. And I caught the flu. I was out for a week. I thought I was dying. The flu is like that times 100. I mean, not the flu. COVID is like that times 100. Stupid. I don't care what nobody say. Men are not over exaggerating because it sucks. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Anything you want to tell the people, my guy?
Once again, the website is www.lamontavenuewines.com. You can order. I ship out all over the nation. My Instagram is Lamont Avenue, LAMONT Avenue. My personal page is _ Dom Diddy.
Dom Diddy.
That's me. Actually, Lou B gave me that nickname. Everybody asked me how I got that name. It's because of Lil B.
Hold on. Put the mic over there. Talk about yourself just for a sec. Tell the people about yourself. We got one of Lamont Ave's finest up in here. He's been sitting here chilling.
I'm just a regular guy, man, you know.
Okay.
You know, when you see Dom, you see me.
That's how it should be.
You was talking about something earlier, like, about, you know, if I get a lot of flack.
Yeah.
And I say that to say, like, anybody that know Dom or anybody that know me know we brothers, you know.
Facts.
Me and Dom been friends for over a decade, so I knew him since,
okay,
you know, day one, before we was even talking about wine, yeah, or anything like that, when we was, you know, working
before the plan came in place. Absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, man. And you know, Dom, he just always had, you know, a mentality like Diddy almost. So, you know, when we go, okay, to parties and stuff like that, you know, I kind of tease him like, Dom Diddy, what up, boy?
All
like,
right.
So I think the name just stuck with him for real, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just went with it. So, like, we laugh about it here and there, but that's where it really came from for real. Just, you know, me being, you know, his friend for so long and,
facts,
you know, just us hanging out every day and doing different stuff. And, yeah, that's where it really came from, just organically for real. And I feel like that's why I really stuck with it, because most people that, you know, doing different things and stuff like that, like, think of a name, like a rapper or something like, mm-hmm, that. But, yeah, it was organic.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, what's your role? Are you, you're the manager?
No, I'm not necessarily the manager.
You're the personal guy that, hey, look, if he here, I'm here.
Yeah.
That's
what's
up. You
know, whatever you need me for, you know.
That's what's up.
You know, just, you know, being around him and just meeting different people and, you know, going to these different events and stuff like that, you know, I think to myself, like, dang, I probably could do pretty good at the marketing field. So, you know, I'd be telling myself, like, you know, just get into marketing and stuff like that. And, you know, just, you know, if that's what you really want to do, perfect your craft. So, you know, I got a life, too. So I got other stuff going on. Like,
okay.
I'm an educator. So, you,
okay,
know,
cool. Black man educating, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It needs,
yeah,
to be,
yeah,
seen. It needs to be heard.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. I don't really feel like I just have, like, a role. Like, I'm just there, really. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whenever he need me to do events and stuff like that, we got to get on the road and, you know, hit the event, I'm there.
Facts.
So, yeah, that's all it really is. Just being friends and just being loyal. And, you know, I don't even call him my friend. I call him my brother. And people be like, y'all ain't brothers. I'm like, y'all don't even know for real.
You don't
so,
know. Blood ain't got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we've been rocking since, man, them Kent and
high school days. For real,
yeah,
man.
No, for like, real, man. Like, back when it was like them, I was just talking to my lady about this, when you had them groups. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
man.
I don't remember the groups and the teen clubs. Like,
days.
It's been since them days, for real, man. So,
yeah.
And it's always been love. Like, it ain't never been like I got a question how he moving or what he doing or like anything for real. Like, it's always been love. And, you know, that's what it's gonna be when I'm, you know, when we sitting at the top for real, man. When it's time and I start getting them crazy deals and these people wanna work with me, or even when I sell the company, you know what I'm saying? That's ultimately what I'm building up to be, man, because I'm not really trying to do this forever. I'm not gonna be
1.5 billion.
Yeah.
You in all the countries, brother. We need 1.5 B's. We don't need,
yeah,
them M's.
Yeah,
it's going to be
need the bees. Gonna be
something crazy, man. But whatever I do, like I said, win, lose, or draw, he going to be with me, man. But we going to win, man. It's inevitable, man. We great guys. We do what we need to do, man. We take care of our family, take care of our kids, man. And we just good guys, man. Like I said, the product's good, tastes good, the bottle's nice, and it's going to win. And when it win, man, I wouldn't want to be sitting at the top with nobody then, you know, my guys that was with me, you know, and my Impala, like, and that's how I really kind of scale a lot of people for real. Like,
not the Impala.
Yeah, because my Impala, man, it was a lot of, like, that was my first car. Okay. Impala was my first car, man. So, like, a lot of people who don't know about that car, who wasn't in that car, or even who I let drive that car, like, man, I kind of, like, scale a lot of people on that for real. Yeah, man, I wouldn't want to sit at the top with nobody else for real, man. It's because we didn't went through so much. Like I said, man, I didn't been hired at jobs, and shoot, he like, bro, I'm trying to get this gig. I'm trying to get a second gig, whatever. I'm like, bro, I'm talking to the supervisor. Like, hey, man, I got my dude. He a great working dude. Put him on. We in there. You know what I'm saying? Working. Then he got hired at a bunch of jobs together, fired at a bunch of jobs together. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't been through it for real, man. Like, a lot of stuff in relationships, man. A lot of stuff that he didn't been through relationships with, you know, his, you know, significant others, and pretty much the same thing that I didn't been through with mine. So it's just like we can relate on so many different levels. So
facts,
you know, whatever it is, man, I'm a ride no matter what. Just like I know he'd ride for me. Wouldn't even that the fact that I know he'd do it for me. I'm just gonna do it just cause, you know, I love him for real. Like whatever he need, it ain't gonna be no question. But I know, like, once we make it, we there. And we sit on that yacht or we whatever.
Hey, I don't care what yacht y'all sit on. I better get an invite.
Yeah, no, for real, man. You know what I'm saying? For real.
I gotta do a special clown right now, you know. Dom Diddy did the first podcast and was not looking at the camera.
Man, I remember the
majority
that,
of the time.
I remember that day, man.
So like, he had so his whole I contacted this dude earlier. I was like, hey, man, we about to do it. You know, COVID is rampant at this point.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We about to do this. Look, there ain't no other way to do it. We're going to do I got to get this. I'm thinking about, you know, I got to get this podcast up. I told him I was going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I was like, all right, okay, he about to be the first one. Man.
Yeah, I had a crew.
First of all, they was not letting him be great. Had this man laughing. I'm going to show you some of the video.
I still got the video.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
They was in the background laughing.
Clowning.
Kicking it. I'm just like, man.
Clowning.
This is crazy.
I had to send a text message. I was like, hey, man, you coming with anybody else?
Man.
Or is it just you?
It was crazy that day. And at that point, everything was shut down. So, like, we was, like, having car parties with just certain amount of people, and we drinking and we kicking it because we can't go out at that time. So, like, you know, everybody heard, like, I'm doing a podcast on my cousin Lou House. Like, oh, yeah, we there. Don got a podcast. After the podcast, we're going to play cards. I'm going to bring a bottle. Blah, blah, blah. Like, we just kicking it. Like, and then my sister that stays in Virginia, she was in town. So, like, we were just having, like, a whole party over there that day.
I wasn't going to do it to you.
And I'm sitting there looking at them, like, I'm trying to, like, look at the video and everything. It's just like, man.
I wasn't going to do it to you. Please. I was like, I'm not about to post this. I'm not. Because this is him the whole time.
Man. Because I'm trying to get them to, like, I'm trying to make eye contact with
them. He is not engaged.
I'm trying to make eye contact with them so I can, like, signal to them to, like, just.
I'm asking questions. This man said, what? Like, 3 or 4 times. I'm like, oh, okay, I can't do this to him. It's 6 o'clock. This was so much better. It was so much better. Well, listen, I know y'all said y'all got places to go. I appreciate you, my guy, and we're looking forward to seeing, you know, the progress of what you got coming. Full support for me.
Appreciate
any
you,
way
bro.
I can help. We'll talk. Even to your partner, man. Much success to the both of you guys. So this is the Gray Area. We'll see you soon.
There it is.